all praises to God, to Dr. Bryant, to Brother Andrew, to the deacons, officers, to this sanctuary choir. Amen. Have truly ushered us into the presence of the Most High. And we are deeply grateful for the Doris Wilhite Handbell Ensemble. I had to hold my peace when I saw the handbell ensemble. I had to remember I had to preach this morning, but we're always excited. This morning, we would like to call your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, the first Gospel, Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15. And we would like to begin reading at verse 21. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. By the inspiration of God, by the pen of Matthew, these words are recorded. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We read into your hearing Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We would like to tag this text simply, the Master's Table. The Master's Table. This month, we've been doing a series of sermons entitled, At the Table. On first Sunday, we took the time to fix our face at the Lord's table. When you come to the Lord's table, fix your face. Second Sunday, we looked at the shepherd's table. There we wanted to paint a picture of how Jesus has prepared a table in the presence of our enemies. We have a safe place that he has prepared already for us. And then on last Sunday, we talked about the king's table. And we wanted to note the grace that David showed toward Mephibosheth and how God shows grace toward us, that we come to his table by his grace. This morning, we want to invite you to the Master's table. And since we are days away from Thanksgiving, I want to share with you Big Mama's ancient recipe for great faith. I want to share with you this morning Big Mama's great secret ancient recipe blend formula for great faith. In this text in verse 28, Jesus encounters a woman, and in verse 8, he concludes the matter by saying, "O woman, great is thy faith." If anyone can measure another's faith, surely Jesus can. And Jesus had healed the sick according to their faith. Jesus had helped people according to their faith. But there's only two times in recorded scripture that Jesus describes somebody's faith as being great. And so in this text, we have a picture of Big Mama's great faith. And so this morning, I want to share with you her ancient recipe. I want to reverse engineer this passage. And so perhaps we can learn from it how in 2024, we too can have great faith. Well, if you're going to have great faith, the first thing you have to start with is faith. I mean, it's the base of great faith. Now, I make a great pecan pie. But I got to tell you, my pecan pie starts with pecan pie. See, first you bake the pecan pie, and then I add stuff to it. If you're going to have great faith, it starts with faith. The Hebrews teaches us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the invisible touch between man and God. We move because of our faith. We're saved by our faith. We trust and believe because of our faith. So if you're going to have great faith, you first must start with faith. But here in this text, I believe we can see the recipe for great faith. Great faith. Great faith is first thing you need. The first ingredient you have to have is belief. You have to believe. In the text in verse 21, the lady comes out of the coast. And she cries out, a woman of Canaan, she cries out to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." This is Jesus' messianic title. This woman is a stranger. This woman is a foreigner. This woman is outside of the house of Israel, yet she was able to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the one that the prophets prophesied about. Jesus is the one. And she comes out, she believed that Jesus is the Messiah. Not just a healer. Not just a cook that can feed 5,000 in the wilderness. No, she believed that he was the Son of David and had the ability to have mercy on her situation. She believed that he had the authority to move in her life. She believed that he had the ability to cast out demons. She believed. And she believed before she got there. She didn't believe what she saw. She didn't believe what she seen happen. No, she believed the report. And Isaiah asked the question years ago. He asked, "Who have believed our report?" And I come by today to tell you that this Canaanite Big Mama, she believed the report. She would believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And I come by today to tell you this morning, if you're going to have great faith, you got to have some belief. I believe. I'm not still figuring on some things. I'm not still waiting on new information. I'm not waiting on somebody else to crack a code or hack the system. No, there's some things I just believe. I believe that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. I believe, right? I believe that God gave Noah the plans to build an ark that survived a flood. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. I believe that Jesus died on a cross and on the third day he rose from the grave. I believe. And if you're going to have great faith, you got to have belief added to your faith. We see in this text, this woman, this Canaanite woman, believe. But not only did she believe, the second ingredient you have to have is determination. You got to have some stick with it. You got to have some tenacity. You got to have some perseverance. You got to have some persistent appeal. She was determined. She would not let him go. Even though the disciples and Jesus tried to dismiss her. Yeah, listen. It's in the text. When she cried out, "Have mercy on me," the scripture said that he answered her, not a word. The word of God was silent, was quiet. Even though she had faith and was active, it did not move God. She had faith that had audacity, but it did not move Jesus. She stuck with it. See, too many times we pray one and done. We pray at night and get up in the morning and say we gonna fix it ourselves. That's the problem with some of us. We don't even give God a chance. We go to bed with the problem in the morning. We done slept on it and now we know what we're going to do. You gotta have some stick with it. Give it over to the Lord and leave it right there. Jesus didn't answer her word, and then the disciples came and besought him saying, "Send her away." Now that's a common theme with the disciples. Whenever the problem gets too big for the disciples love to say, "Send them away." When they had service all day, well off into the evening, disciples looked around and said, "Nobody brought no refreshments. Nobody, where's the men group? Where's the brotherhood? They're going to have a fellowship after this service." There was none to be found. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Send them away." The disciples' solution to problems that tend to be too big for them is always send them away. But I come by today to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's some things you can't delegate. There's some problems you can't send away. There's some things that you can't give to another. Now, I don't know how the disciple meant it. Maybe they meant it in a loving, kind, generous, compassionate way. Maybe they meant to say to Jesus, "Go on and give her what she want, so she stop bothering us." Whatever it was still dismissive of her request. And yet she was determined to get her blessing from Jesus. The scripture said, and she cried after them. She continued to stick with it. Even after they said, "Send her away," she stuck with it. You got to stick with it. And she was able to persevere even past Jesus' dismissals. See, a denial, when God is moving in our lives, sometimes he got to dismiss smaller things so that he can bless us with greater things. I remember a time when I was in school, I got so lonely, I was ready to let it go, let it forego my education, forego learning, all because I was lonely. All because I didn't have no friends. And I prayed that night. I was ready to quit, throw in the towel, pack up my bags and head back home. And I prayed that night. And the Lord answered my prayers. But he did a strange thing. He didn't give me no friends. He gave me dorm mates. And if you know anything about dorm mates are temporary. They don't stick around like... What he did was he answered my prayer, but he didn't give me what I wanted. Because he knew what I wanted was going to have to take some time. I needed to get to know people on campus. I needed to fellowship with people. I needed to eat with people. And then God gave me a friend. Even though this woman had the audacity and faith was active, Jesus still dismisses her. Now, I'm not Jesus apologetic, so I don't stand here and try to make up excuses for Jesus. Jesus can do what he want to do, and I submit to it, and I accept it, and go with it. But I know him. I can't figure out why he was so hard on this Canaanite woman. And it just got me to thinking about Thanksgiving. And there was a time somebody brought some greens to our table. They had picked the greens, cooked the green, didn't add no season but about 20 minutes, and then brought those greens to my table. Thank be to God, my wife was there. She got to them greens before I could throw them greens out. No way in the world I could eat them greens. But she got to him. And when she got to him, she could work with him. She said, you gotta cook him a little longer. You gotta add a little more to it. And when I got to thinking about that, I thought about Jesus. When Jesus can sense faith, when Jesus can smell faith, and when he smells great faith in the air, regular faith just won't do. Listen, he knew this woman was capable of great faith. And he pushed it until it came out of her. He denied her 3 times, but the sister didn't walk away. He told her no 3 times, but she stuck in there. And brothers and sisters, if you're going to have great faith, you can't fall out with the first problem. If you're going to have great faith, you can't stumble over the first hurdle. If you're going to have great faith, you're going to have to deal with some problems and stick with it. Not only did she have belief, but the second ingredient is determination. And her determination did not move Jesus. It's there in the text. He answered and said, I'm not sent unto the lost. I'm not sent. That's why I need my glasses. Stop playing. Then he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here this Canaanite woman coming out here pleading with Jesus. She recognized him as a Messiah, even though the house of Israel and the lost sheep of Israel had not recognized him as the Messiah. She recognized him as the Messiah, and she comes to him and prays a short prayer. Lord, help me. Listen, that sent chills in my spine, and I know with Jesus, it just sent goosebumps. To hear someone in the moment have such a simplistic prayer. See, sometimes, we pray publicly, and I have to pray, from the pulpit. I have to pray pastoral prayer. But I gotta tell you, when I'm at home by myself, my prayers are not that long. Oh, no. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help. When you get desperate enough, your prayers get short enough. There's some names I'm going to have to strike off my list. I'm going to have to block them. I'm going to have to stop them. Lord, help me. I'm not here on behalf of my community. I'm not here on behalf of my cousins. I'm not here on behalf of my country. Lord, help me. She had a need. She had a desperation. But she had the secret to great faith. She had belief. She had determination. But the secret ingredient to great faith is humility. I know. That's going to be tough for some of us. Because we live in a world that looks down on humility. We live in a world that if you be humble, we feel that people will take advantage of us. That people think humble means I'm slow, means I'm simple, means I can't figure it out. No, the secret ingredient to great faith is humility. Jesus, he said, it's not me. By the time he gets talking to the woman, he said, it ain't right. It just ain't right for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, I know the commentators right here, they try to lighten that dog comment off. They try to lighten it up a little bit. He wasn't talking about stray dogs that was roaming the cities. He was talking about house dogs. He was talking about pets. He wasn't talking about wild dogs that was out in the wood. He talking about the children's pets. And when the children would sit at the table, they don't want to fall off. The small puppies, the small pets can eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Her short prayer was met with a short parable by Jesus. Now, if that little dog, pet dog, help you feel better about being called a dog, God bless you. don't do me no good calling me a dog. Because I'm still working on my humility. But when Jesus said to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs, her humility saw her opening. She said truth. I have no right to demand a blessing from you because I'm not from the house of Israel. I have no right to ask of you a blessing because I'm not even part of your religion. I have no relationship. I have no religion to connect me with. You are absolutely right. Truth be told. But she said, the children, the dogs at the table could eat the crumbs that fall from the master table. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. See, so often we think we need a whole loaf when all we need is just a crumb. Sometimes we think we need a whole speech when all we need is just one word. Sometimes we think we need an embrace when really all that we need is one touch. One moment in his presence. One word from his lips. One crumb from his table will make all the difference in our lives. Her determination gave her insight and her humility moved the hand of Jesus. Jesus said in this text, O woman, he calls his mama woman. He called Martha woman. He gave her the highest title. One minute he calling her a dog. The next minute he calling her the same word that he used for his own mother. Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you
He gives her a blank check. And the scripture said from that very moment, her daughter was made whole. See, there's a difference between being healed and being made whole. See, when you are healed, you no longer feel the sickness that had been plaguing you. But when you are made whole, you don't have even the after effects. The scar is gone even. The effects are gone. This daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil, and if you ever had a teenage daughter, you know exactly what this woman was going through. Was grievously vexed. There ain't nothing going to fix it. There wasn't nothing going to straighten it out. She was afraid that she was going to lose her daughter. And Jesus says, "Oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou will." You get what you want when you have great faith. When your faith is a mixture of humility. When your faith is a mixture of determination. If your faith is a mixture of belief and you add all that to your faith, you move the hand of God. Great is thy faith. And so for this Thanksgiving, brothers and sisters, I just want to bake up a batch of great faith. I think at the master table, we ought to be thankful for great faith. Thankful for all that he's done. Thankful for his many blessings. But most importantly, I want to thank God for answering prayers. Not answering them when I want them. Not answering when I think he should. But I thank God that when I call on him, he answers when I pray. And some of us are here today because Big Mama had great faith. Our mothers of the past, it wasn't because they had resources, but they had great faith. It wasn't because they always had great jobs or great education, but they had great faith. And when we look back, that's why we can say they did more with great faith than we're able to do with education, with resources, with bigger cars, bigger houses, better menus to eat from. Great faith. All you need is to mix in some belief, determination, and the secret ingredient, humility, and I guarantee you will move the hand of Jesus. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we want to extend the invitation to someone. The invitation is to you. You can come. Come to the Lord's table. Come to the shepherd's table. Come just as you are. As the deacons and the ushers and greeters come to receive you, we ask now that you make the decision. Come to the Lord. Accept him.
to extend, yours to accept or reject.